My name's John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk. Hi, this week's podcast is about the standard My Foolish Heart. This has been requested by Eugene Pliner, who's very generously given another donation on my website to help finance these podcasts. So I really appreciate that. Thank you very much, Eugene, and I'm very happy to do a podcast about My Foolish Heart. This standard is written by Victor Young, the music, and Ned Washington, the lyrics, and they're a partnership that also wrote Stella by Starlight and I Don't Stand a Ghost of a Chance, which are two other great standards. The most famous recording is probably that by Bill Evans, which he made in 1961 with his trio. It's on the album Waltz for Debbie, recorded at the Village Vanguard in New York City. His reharmonization of the tune, I guess, is what's made it so popular. And what was interesting is that he also recorded it in the key of A, which is quite unusual for jazz. He also, later on in 1975, recorded a duet version with Tony Bennett, which is also great. So let's get down to the analysis. The song, as we come to expect, is a 32-bar song with 4 8-measure sections. This time it's not an AABA, like we've seen quite a lot recently, but it's the other form, which is very common, which is ABAC. The 2A sections are virtually identical. There's a slight difference at the end of the second A. And the B and the C sections are both different from the A sections and from each other. So what we're going to find with this song is that it's more complex than other songs we've looked at to date on these podcasts. And that's because of the substitutions that are often used on this song. So what I want to point out is that actually the underlying structure of the song is relatively simple. So if we look at the A section, the actual underlying bricks are, for the first half of the A section, there's a rhythm turnaround, if you like, so it would be B flat major 7, B diminished, C minor 7, C sharp diminished, one chord per measure. And the second half of the A section, the underlying structure, is simply a spot. 3-6-2-5-1, so D minor 7, G 7, C minor 7, F 7. So that's the underlying structure of the first A section. But what we've actually got for the chord progression in the book, which is on page 210, is the first half is the what's called the itchy opening. It's named after It Could Happen to You. It's the same chords I use for the opening of It Could Happen to You. And what we get is it starts on at home, chord 1, B flat major in this case. And then we jump up to 3 minor 7 to 6 7, which is effectively a drop back to get us to chord 2, which you'd see, you know, you see this inside a pot anyway, which is very like the rhythm turnaround. Then we get to chord 2, C minor 7 as we expect, and then instead of the C sharp diminished that the rhythm turnaround would have at this point to lead us from C minor 7 up to the D minor 7 in the next half, it's been substituted with an A7. A7 flat 9, of course, is the same as C sharp diminished. And the A7 has been broken down into its 2-5, so E minor 7, A7. So that kind of explains where the itchy opening chords have come from. And these chords, you know, we've got at this tempo, we've got lots of time to put in lots of extra chords and lots of substitution. you wouldn't be doing this sort of thing at high speed. But because this is a ballad, and you want to sort of wring every last drop out of the harmony, it's very common to put substitutions like this in. The itchy opening, we also see this in songs, as I said, such as It Could Happen to You. What else is there? There's But Beautiful uses this as well. Another variant that you might well see in the first two measures is instead of just going from chord 1 to chord 3 with that drop back, there could be a chord 4 inserted in the second half of the first measure, and that makes the first two measures what I call a TTFA, a turnaround to Far Away. So the idea is we want to get from chord 1 to chord 2, which was called Far Away in Conrad's method. So it's very common to go chord 1, chord 4, chord 3, chord 6, 7. So sometimes we'll see an E flat in the second half of the first measure. It's all just extra decoration. It's not necessary functional harmony. So that's the first half of the A section analysed. The second half of the A section, as we said, the underlying structure is just a spot, so it's D minor 7, G7, C minor 7, F7, one chord per measure. But what we actually see here is in the first two measures of the second half of the A section, we see what I call bootstrap launches, and we've seen this before in songs like Beautiful Love. If you've got a minor 7 chord, and you keep the root the same, but you turn the quality of the chord to dominant, then it helps propel you to the next chord around the cycle. So D minor 7, D7 pulls us more strongly to G minor 7, and then turning that into a G7 pulls more strongly to the C minor 7, the next bar. So this is what I call bootstrap launches, and the reason I call them that is because the join between D minor and D7 is an effective bootstrap, because it's as though there's an A minor 7 in there, which will be the bootstrap join. So it's an exquisite way of very slowly moving around the cycle. And something else we can do is to introduce tritone substitution. So if we make all of the dominant chords tritone substitutes, we get D minor 7, A flat 7, G minor 7, D flat 7. And again, it's just a nice alternative to the original chords. So that's the first A section analysed. If we look at the B section, I guess this is kind of typical. The underlying structure here, the simplified structure here, before we look at the actual complex detail, is that we'll start on at home. We go to 4, which is the most common place to go. We then go to the relative minor, which is G minor, for the second half of the B section to start what's effectively a slow launcher, a dogleg slow launcher in this case. So that's the underlying simplified structure. But let's look at the actual chords we have here. So we start on at home with B flat major 7. We do a bootstrap join as expected to go to the most common place we go, which is to key 4. So we do a cadence with a bootstrap join from chord 1 and we get to E flat major. next we're going to go, rather than go back home to chord one of the major key, we're going to go back home to chord one of the relative minor, G minor. So we see a bauble join here, and this is described on page 47 of the book. One of the uses of the bauble join is to go from chord 4 to the relative minor using a regular cadence. And we can see this done in other songs, such as Emily, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, I Should Care does this as well, and so does Embraceable You. So that launcher, that bauble launcher, if you like, at the end of the first half of the B section gets us to the beginning of the second half of the B section on a G minor 7. And if this were a simple dog leg slow launcher, we would expect to see the chords 1 per measure, G minor 7, C7, C minor 7, F7, which is the broken down version of simply C7 for 2 measures and F7 for 2 measures, which is the slow launcher that we expect to see at the end of B sections. But there's decoration here again, and what's been done, instead of just having simple cadence approaches, you know, 2 5s, it's been decorated here with what I call a body and soul cadence approach, which is where you start on 2 but you go backwards around the cycle to 6 7, and then you do 2 5 after that. And you could, in fact, do this decoration. In my chart, it's only done once in the first half of the second half of the B section. You could actually do it on both halves, and it would sound like this. Okay, so that's the first half of the song analyzed. The second A section is almost identical to the first one, except that at the end, in the last 2 measures, instead of having a regular cadence home, we see the autumnal substitution that we talked about in the podcast about Whisper Not. So instead of 2 5 that we saw at the end of the first A section, C minor 7, F7, we see C minor 7 effectively backsliding down to A half diminished D7. That's the autumnal substitution of F7, which makes us get, rather than to the major home key, it takes us to the relative minor key, G minor, to start the C section. So the C section, the final section of the song, the meta view of this section of the song is, for me, it's from the Penny's Ending family. So that's the template that I'm thinking about when I'm playing this. Penny's Endings usually start on chord 4. Sometimes they start on chord 2. And more rarely still, they start on chord 6, which is what's happening here. And the idea is that you start off somewhere like that, and you find a way of getting back to chord 1 in the third measure, the B flat major 7 there in the third measure of the C section. And then in the fourth measure, you drop back the G7, and the last half of the Penny's Ending is to do some sort of cadence home. So that's the meta view, but there's more detail, as you'd expect, in this song with the substitutions. So what we actually see here is we start on the relative minor, G minor, and then we do a stellar join. This join is incredibly rare. On the group we've discussed this quite a lot, the Google group, and Bob Keller's been particularly good at finding examples of stellars. almost all of them occur before a Yardbird cadence. So that kind of explains. It's a very unusual join. If you took a stellar join to a regular cadence, it would take you to a key which is a tritone away. So I think that explains why it's so rarely used. And when it is used, it's not used with regular cadences. So this stellar join between G minor, the relative minor, and a Yardbird cadence merely takes us back home. So it's not really a great harmonic wrench. So the stellar join is to go down a major third. So from G minor, from the G root down to the E flat minor 7 root, that's the major third jump. And there we do a Yardbird approach, which is a 2-5 that then goes up a whole step. So that's the Yardbird cadence in effect for E flat minor 7, A flat 7, B flat major 7. The B flat major 7 then starts some sort of drop back, and in this case it's what I've called a tingle drop back, named after There Is No Greater Love, where this sequence occurs in the opening of There Is No Greater Love. B flat major 7, E flat major 7, A flat 7, G 7. And you'll notice that it's very like the TTFA variant that I talked about in the A section. So it's chord 1, chord 4, and then it's chord flat 7-7, dropping down to 6-7 to drop back. Which naturally follows around the cycle to the cadence home, and the only variant in the cadence home at the end of the C section is that, again, to squeeze more out of this harmony at this speed, rather than just going 2-5-1, it goes 2-7 followed by a 2-7 5-7-1, just to squeeze a bit more out of the harmony. So it basically is like a cadence home, but it's also got a somewhere cadence home inside there, because there's a C7 as well as a C-7. And that's the whole song analyzed. Thank you. My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcast or the method in the book, or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.